The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
You know, as someone who has served and served and had the honor to serve with Afghans, we're taught from basic training on up, the number one thing we're taught is you do not leave your man behind. Now, how can the Department of Defense go before the American people, those military service members, and those veterans and say that the mission was accomplished when people were left behind?
I think, Trace, so we've been very clear that we don't believe the effort has concluded. The military mission of evacuation is over.
That's John Kirby representing the Pentagon, saying the military mission's over, the war is over, and then we're trying to get the hostages out. We know they're trapped, but there's a journalist, I guess also someone that used to be in the military, and still, I mean, the anger and the emotion is still too restrained for my liking. One could only imagine what it would be like if Donald Trump pulled out all of America's troops like Joe Biden did over these past few weeks and then came home and said, hey, it was perfect. Mission accomplished. You think Jim Acosta would just sit back and ask politely, well, how can you say this? Because there's still Americans that we left behind. But at least you have to give them credit. You have to give them a little bit of credit. At least they're asking the questions. So these are some uncomfortable questions for these spokespeople. We'll get to that and much more. So much going on in the news this week. Hard to believe we're already at the last program of the week. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We certainly thank you for joining our growing audience. And we're thankful, too, for CRN Digital Talk Radio, the network, Channel 3 on that network, that takes the audio stream of this program into 11 million American homes. But to get to the video presentation of this, the live stream and or the podcast that we post after the show, you have to go to our website, thetrumpet.com. thetrumpet.com/live takes you right to the page where we stream this show live every day. And, I mean, it really has become a full-fledged television show now with all of the graphics we're adding and the clips and the just everything else that well, of course, this beautiful set to go with it as well. You've got to go, though, to our own website because YouTube won't have it. YouTube will not. They keep deleting. We've stopped broadcasting on YouTube, by the way, for months. And yet Sam's noticed that they keep going back into our archives. Anything on the stolen election, anything on the pandemic, they're just taking them out right and left. The censors, they're still at work on just our library, what we've archived, what we've already broadcast over there. The police, they won't let Donald Trump speak. Banned from Twitter. What a world we're living in at the moment. So much craziness. And the news, I mean, it just goes from bad to worse for the fake Biden administration. He wakes up this morning to this dreadful jobs report. 200 and some odd thousand jobs. It was supposed to be 700,000. They're just grinding the American economy into the ground. Runaway inflation. Stagflation now. All the flations you can add to the mix. Brought on by these dreadful policies. These communist policies. And then all these storms ripping through the Northeast. And of course, as if on cue, the talking heads show up saying it's climate this, climate that, climate, 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 infrastructure, infrastructure. We need trillions and trillions of dollars. If we spend the trillions on the roads and the subways and such, well, it's as if these storms would never happen. And of course, they're going to try to use some of this to distract Americans away from the Afghanistan defeat, the debacle, the disaster that we all watched play out on television. People hanging from planes, the outside of planes as they were lifting off. helicopters flying through Afghanistan cities with dead victims hanging from a noose. Yeah, it's all happened just in the last few days. No wonder the Biden administration is going to be trying to change the subject any way that they can. But as I say, you've got to give a little bit of credit to some of the reporters who at least are asking the questions. Here is Matt Lee over at the State Department grilling the State Department spokesperson on the ones we left behind. There's the U.S. citizens, the passport, the ones that have passports. Then there's the ones with green cards. And then, of course, there's the Afghanis that helped us, all the translators and such. And you start adding them all up. Here's Matt Lee asking about those that have green cards. Clip 11.
Now I'm just asking about green card holders. Was there a decision made at some point to forget about those people and only allow U.S. passport holders in and onto into the airport through your checkpoints, not the Taliban checkpoints, but through your checkpoints and onto and onto planes? Because a lot of them feel like they frankly got screwed here and that they were lied to, because they had been told by people on the task force, just what I mentioned to Toria, that we know where you are, we're not going to let you, we're not going to strand you, don't worry, stay tight, hold tight. And now, you know, what do they do?
They were promised. The U.S. government promised them that they'd get them out. And as Matt Lee brings out, they were lied to. So now what do they do? What are they supposed to do? And then you people coming back saying, mission accomplished? This was a disaster from start to finish. And a cover-up. All these things. So many lies. Giving up the city of Kabul. Pretending as if everything's perfect for the last several months. Telling back in July, as I've covered this week. Giving the press conferences, the speeches, saying that the Taliban wouldn't take over. This would never be like Saigon. This is going to be a smooth transition. We'll get all the Americans out. We'll stay until every last one of them are out. Reuters has an article. Everybody screwed up, it says. The blame game begins over the turbulent U.S. exit from Afghanistan. This is Reuters. We went to the Reuters report from the other day. You know, the one that got into this phone call between Joe Biden back on July 23rd and the Afghanistan president, then president, Ghani. And there was Biden on the phone telling him, look, just create a false narrative to make it look like the Taliban aren't sweeping across the country. And as I've said, the press has done at least a better job of exposing so many of these catastrophic mistakes. This is one exception, however. Maybe it's because it's just too close to the perfect phone call to the Ukrainian president. I mean, they impeached Donald Trump over this. And here comes a phone call. Here's something where there actually is a quid pro quo. Here's something where an American president was telling another president to lie for him. And on this, I guess the big networks, they're not interested in it. It's a very revealing Reuters report. Good for Reuters. Got to give them some credit from time to time. It says here, current and former officials and lawmakers said there is little appetite for Biden to fire or demote top advisors over the handling of the U.S. withdrawal. So there's just mess ups. There's mistakes, catastrophic mistakes all over the place. It says, let the finger pointing begin. But basically what it's also saying is that nobody's going to be held to account. Everybody's just going to blame everyone else. Everybody's to blame, so nobody gets punished. Everybody's to blame, so nobody's really at fault. The United States of America, the world's lone superpower, and God says, Bible prophecy says that it would lose the pride in its power and that its massive amount of strength would be spent in vain. Spent in vain. $90 billion of military equipment. By the way, here's one from Forbes. The Biden administration erased Afghan weapons reports from federal websites. You keep seeing all over social media this listing. I think the Daily Mail had an image with all the tanks and the Humvees and the airplanes and the machine guns and the grenade launchers. So all over the place. So here comes the government saying, hey, let's just kind of scrub this from our own websites because people are giving this too much publicity. Let's erase it. I mean, how Orwellian does it have to be? It's like it's straight out of that book. Just send it down the memory hole. Just act as if it didn't happen. Forbes says the war in Afghanistan has always been a black box, but the Biden administration just made matters worse. According to an admission obtained from the State Department, Biden officials recently directed federal agencies to scrub their websites of official reports detailing the $82.9 billion in military equipment and training provided to the Afghan security forces since 2001. Let's just erase that. Let's just blot it out. Has there been enough blotting out of late? It's just all over the place. Let's just get rid of it. Let's just pretend it didn't happen. Let's remove it from our own websites. Going back to this Reuters report, it quotes one U.S. diplomat, a failure like this is collective. Everybody screwed up. Everybody messed up. And so, as I say, nobody's going to be held to account. Just to follow up on, you know, who actually was evacuated out. There's some stats in the Washington Post this morning. 31,000 evacuees from Afghanistan arrived in the United States over the last couple weeks in August. 7,000 U.S. citizens and legal residents, as well as 24,000 others. And there's, I guess, around 43,000 waiting at outposts across the world or overseas, hoping to get into the United States as well so that they can be shipped over to one of these swing states and hopefully become a good Democrat voter in the years to come. The Post, it goes on and just talks about how chaotic the evacuation was. Everybody knows it. And then the spokespeople, what do they say right across the board? Oh, this was perfect. Lloyd Austin said this was heroic. The fake president said this was an extraordinary success. And then they want to try to change the subject, though, too. Latching on to these deadly storms, and they have been deadly. It's not often that you hear about tornadoes hitting New Jersey. Usually that's something for this part of the country. Tornadoes in New Jersey, massive flooding in New York City, shutting down subway systems. And then out west, you've got all the fires, the wildfires. It's just like it's described in Amos 4 and verse 7. You've got fires and drought in one city, and you've got flooding, massive flooding, tornadoes, hurricanes in other cities. The New York Times said today, 43 die as deadliest storm since Sandy devastates the Northeast. Another historic storm that they say is brought on by climate change. Yes, it's just too easy, isn't it, to blot out God from the record, to blot out the Holy Bible from the record, to disregard Amos 4:7 from the record. Listen to this montage. I think this was on one of the Fox shows last night, clip 4.
I just want to say we are looking at the results of climate change.
And then, of course, add to that the fact that this is all part of this. Scientists tell us climate change.
You're going to hear a lot about climate change in the hours to come. And we should, because this is a climate change story.
Yeah, that's right. You're going to hear a lot about it. And we need to throw trillions and trillions of dollars at it. We need to get Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez out front in this movement to solve all of these weather upsets, all of these storms, all of these floods. Listen to Matthew Dowd. I mean, this is just crazy, this next statement, clip 10.
The globe is at stake. We're about to have more deaths in a year in the globe because of climate change than all of the world wars in the last 100 years combined. We are fast approaching, unless we fundamentally do something in the next 12 to 24 months, an irreversible problem that we're going to be facing this week, every single week. And it's going to include droughts. It's going to include deaths. It's going to include freezes. It's going to include all of that. And until we elect people that believe in science and believe in the common good, we're never going to do anything about this until we do that.
Says the one reporter who actually thought the evacuation was perfect. He thinks Biden's done a great job with Afghanistan. And there he is saying that over the next year, we're going to have more deaths than all the world wars of the last 100 years. So I guess that puts it up to, what, it would be 75, 80 million because of climate change. And then we've got, what, 12 to 24 months, another time frame. They have been on this for decades with the freeze and then the heat. And now it's climate change, so it can be freeze or heat. Now they don't have to be wrong. Now they can say, look, we're a little off on the time frame. You know what's interesting is that if, here again, tomorrow's news today, you know who was talking about weather upsets increasing and intensifying in the lead up to the return of Jesus Christ? That would be Herbert Armstrong in The Plain Truth. That would be The Trumpet magazine since 1990. My father and other writers at The Trumpet that have written booklets on this subject. And all of the scriptures of God, even Jesus himself, talking about a time of trouble, one that would include a sorrowful time that would include a lot of so-called natural disasters. Are they natural? Are they man-made? Is it because of climate change? Listen to my father's article. I'll read it to you. What the Paris Climate Agreement was really about, one of his classic articles from 2017. It says, climate change has become something like a religion for the radical left. They believe it is an article of faith. They believe it as an article of faith regardless of the evidence. It's a tool that they're using to increase their control. See, they just want more control. They want control over our lives, whether it's with the lockdowns or everybody getting the jab. The only time they want you just to get out of their business is like when Texas passes this law that, look, you're not going to be able to abort a human being with a beating heart. And these communist radicals go crazy. Don't you reach into the uterus of a woman. Oh, now it is man and woman. Okay. Now it's man. It used to, just 2 seconds ago, it's whatever you identify as. But now, says Jen Psaki, why, you're a male reporter. You don't know what it's like. Who are you to even ask this question about choice? Now it's male, female. We've got it straightened out. Now it's, hey, don't mess with our bodies. Forget about what we said during the jab, 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 and jab again. They want to put toxins into our bodies and then just do anything that they want with an actual living organism with a beating heart. They don't want to say beating heart, by the way. They want to say 6 weeks, 7 weeks, anything that they can do to make it seem like it's just a kind of a blob of cells. It's got a beating heart. And they're quite happy with snuffing out those lives. They are. How did I get so far off of climate change? It says here, Satan is trying to get people focused on the complicated topic of climate change, which no one really understands. The media and scientists talk about the danger it poses to America and how it will end the world in 10 years. But they've been presenting this farcical notion for 20, 30, 40 years now. Well, what about their false prophecies? What about how they've gotten it wrong? Who's held to account? Speaking of accountability, I mean, if you've been getting it wrong, spectacularly so. Here is a well-known commentator saying there's going to be more climate change deaths in the next year than World Wars I, II, and everything since combined. But somehow or another, they'll adjust the figures, you know, because people do die every year. So they'll just blame it on climate change. It's kind of like blame it on COVID. We have all these deaths, blame it on COVID. Now we've got all these vaccine deaths, and we got to move those into the COVID column. It's the COVID death. Now, no one, I heard a Fox News commentator just yesterday or the day before saying that he's not aware of one single death as a result of the vaccine. Not even one. And there's like 13,000 reported cases of it right here in the United States. And that's probably only 10% of the total count. But the way they get around it is you switch, look, add another variant and switch it into the COVID column. Well, it seems like everybody getting the jab is now getting COVID. So says a study in Israel. Doesn't matter. The jab solves the problem. The jab is perfect, says Fauci. That's the only way we're going to fix this. This world is just off the rails. Mental derangement. There's no soundness. It's just open, gaping sores and wounds, spiritually speaking. We've gone through Isaiah 1 plenty enough. It says, all the talk about climate change has pushed God out of the picture. And that's the way the devil wants it. He doesn't want you looking at the prophecies regarding weather upsets and God sending drought, fire, storms, a tempest, tornadoes, floods. God's trying to get our attention, and we're not listening. We're turning away from him, and it's because of movements like this. It's because of religions like this. It's a faith. It's a religion to these people. And it pushes God out of the picture. He says here, the radical left blames every problem on climate change, but the Bible says that most of it is from God. God is plaguing this land in a terrible way to get our attention. And these plagues are about to get a lot worse. Now, that's a forecast going back even to the days of Herbert Armstrong that we've gotten right. And that's because it's based on the sure word of Bible prophecy. Listen to these religious zealots, though. As they get out there, they report on the devastation, and they preach. They preach like a good preacher on television Sunday morning. This is clip 5.
You know, these are families who tonight would have been sharing a meal or a drink or outside enjoying a beautiful, you know, summer night. And yet now what are they thinking? They're thinking we are on the front line of climate change. They now see this as clear and present danger.
Oh, is that what these residents are thinking? You're the reporter there, working your way through these neighborhoods where homes have been destroyed. What are they think? What are these homeowners thinking? They're thinking we're on the front lines of climate change. Really? Well, let's hear from them then. I suspect that that's what you're thinking. Nice bit of editorializing there. The educated elites among us, trying to blot out God, trying to erase God the Father. That'll tie right in with our study for today. We'll come to that after the break. But first, listen to my father from the Key of David back in 2017, clip 1.
The British and American peoples, especially the British peoples around the world, along with the American nation, have a variety of views about climate change. And I don't want to talk to you about political views today, except one, and it is a deadly, deceptive view that is going to affect every single one of us if we believe it. There was an ex-U.S. Secretary of State that recently talked about this subject on television. And he said that all of these violent storms that you see around America and the world are caused by climate change. Now, That is just about the most deadliest deception you could possibly hear, and I want to show you why.
And he went on to explain that in quite a lot of detail. It later became that article, or formed the base for that article that we printed in the Trumpet that same year. Powerful, powerful piece. One last clip from 2017, clip two.
Now, do those who talk about climate change diligently seek God? Well, I think it's usually what I've seen anyhow is the reverse of that. They just leave God totally out of the picture. And God won't be left out. He will not be. I don't care what a trillion men say, he won't be left out.
God will not be left out of the picture. Ultimately, you think about the fall holy days coming up. Ultimately, I mean, he's going to be right in the middle, right in the center of a godly society. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to contact the program or request any of the free literature that we frequently offer, just call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
One may blind his eyes to existing facts and trends and say the world cannot get any worse than it already is. Or, if we just ignore the conditions and don't worry, perhaps they'll go away. But these conditions and trends won't just go away. Not unless they are caused to go away. The scriptures of the Holy Bible, the inspired revelation of the Supreme God, have foretold today's world conditions and trends, and give us the advanced news of coming peace on earth, of universal prosperity, of happiness and joy, of veritable utopia. This is the good news of the world tomorrow, and it is absolutely sure. This coming world is vividly described in our booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. Bible prophecy explains in detail how God will intervene to save mankind from destroying himself. Jesus Christ will return to earth, putting an end to the rule of man and restore God's government on earth. To learn much more about this prophesied utopia, please visit thetrumpet.com.
Trumpet Daily.
All the talk about climate change has pushed God out of the picture. That's what my father wrote in that article from 2017. And that's the ultimate goal of this radical religious movement, is to blot out God. And as you heard in the last segment there, God will not have it. He will not. He is going to make his presence known before this is all said and done. Malachi 4, 5, and 6. This is a passage we've been going to a lot here at the start of this school semester. Our students have been reading through this and hearing this quite a lot the last few weeks. It speaks of an end-time Elijah. God says, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the eternal. That was Herbert Armstrong, the one who came in the spirit and power of Elijah in these last days, who told us about all of these weather disasters and why they were happening, and why they are going to intensify, and why they're going to happen more frequently. He explained why. He gave you God's perspective. He was right. If you haven't ordered this booklet yet, this brochure, powerful, powerful booklet with Herbert Armstrong on the cover, he was right. As I said before the break, the toll-free number if you're in the United States or Canada or the Caribbean, it's 1-866-930-3024. Call our operators today. They're standing by waiting to fulfill your request, your order. So God said he would send rather Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. That's now just ahead of us. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to their children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So he brought to this earth, God did it through Herbert Armstrong, this message, this vision of the soon coming kingdom of God, which is the family of God, administering the government of God. So all these family members turning to their spiritual father. Of course, there's an application here that you would apply on a physical level too. Building families the way God has been building his. Back up to verse 1. It says, "For behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be a stubble," it says. "And the day that comes shall burn them up," says the Lord of hosts, "and it shall leave them neither root nor branch." So it's a sober warning, as is verse 6 for God's people. There is a cutoff point, and we've got to get our hearts right. We don't want to shove God out of the picture. We want to bring him right back into the middle. Verse 2, it says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." My father has explained before that this is how we avoid what's described in verse 1. It's this Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ. I mean, it describes him there as the Son, S-U-N. Jesus Christ, who has healing in his wings. Physical, spiritual healing. This is a pretty good reminder for us of God's power and of how he's got to be at the center. You go outside every day, you can't stare at it, you can't look at it directly, but there is the sun and everything revolves around it. Look at Psalm 19. Psalm 19, there's so much, as I've been saying recently to our students, there's just so much that we can learn about God by just looking at his creation. The invisible things of God are known. They're known because of his creation, because of his material create, because of what he brought into existence. He's our maker. He designed it. And here again, you talk about people who are really radicals, extremists. Look at the world of science and evolution. There is true science in this world. God is a scientist. But if science is based on evolution, I mean, it's flawed from the beginning. How do you say, as I've told the students here of late, this little hummingbird feeder just outside my window, I'm about 3 feet away from it. There's a window between us, of course, but I'm looking at these beautiful, beautiful little birds every morning as they come to the feeder. And to think about the bird or a woodpecker or just something happening over the course of millions and millions of years, I don't even have time to get into it. We've been talking about, does God exist, in doctrines and to some degree in principles of living. But you just look at God's creation and you marvel at his creative masterpieces. They're all around us. Even though, yes, man has. He's done a lot to really mar the earth, to trash the surface of the earth. We have, I'm sure, had an impact on even the climate to some degree, certainly not to the extent that the zealots say, and it's not the cause of all these storms or drought right along the West Coast. But we certainly are taking God's creation and returning it to a state of tohu and bohu, just like Lucifer did when he rebelled against God. In any event, there's still plenty all around us in God's creation that really reveal a lot about God, our Creator. Notice what it says here in Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows his handiwork. You can see God's hand in both directions. If you zoom in on, you know, microscopic organisms, or if you zoom out and look into the heavens, looking at the master clock of the universe, seeing how everything is sustained, working according to definite laws, the laws of gravitation and other laws of physics. Verse 2, it says in the Revised Standard, day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There's a message, you see, in the universe. It's as if the universe is prophesying. It's declaring God's message. David looked into the heavens and said, wow, what is man? What are we? You compare that, Psalm 8, to Hebrews 2. It's a mind-expanding vision. It's a universe-wide vision. Verse 3 says, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. I mean, you get this unspoken message. It comes through loud and clear. It certainly does. And it's all the more so with modern technology. Again, whether you go into the microscope or whether you look through the Hubble telescope and you see the glory of God, you see it. I mean, we're without excuse. Speaking of the microscopes, I mean, think about the technology and all of the improvements in the technology since Roe v. Wade in 1973. And I mean, you can get right in there and see a live beating heart. Do you think at Planned Parenthood they want you to actually zoom inside to see what you're about to suck out of a woman, whether with a vacuum or what you're about to stab in the back of the neck? They don't want you to see life. They don't want you to see a beating heart. They don't want to talk about a beating heart. They just want to continue with the murder. Mass murder. Murder on a mass scale. It's been going on for what? Almost 50 years? Million and a half abortions a year. You do the math. I mean, that's appalling. It's just happening all the time. We don't think about it that often. But it goes on every day. Thousands upon thousands of them. Human life snuffed out. Verse 14, it says, their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them, the heavens, that is, that he set a tabernacle for the sun. So in our solar system, it all revolves around the sun. The sun dominates. It dominates our solar system in every respect. The core of this sun, this brilliant star in our solar system, it tops off at 15 million degrees. That's pretty warm. It's pretty hot. This is from a book called by that name, 15 million degrees. It says, I would say that our sun is the most important star there has ever been or ever will be, since it is the star that gave the energy required for life on Earth to emerge and thrive. Now, I'm supposing the woman who wrote this book is an evolutionist, thinking that it all just kind of happened. But what a delicate balance. Joel Hilliker gets into this in our booklet on the universe, our universe potential. You can request that one right along with He Was Right, if you like. But this professor writes, not only does sunlight allow us to see, but it made our rocky planet habitable for millions of species of animals and plants. It grows our food, it drives our weather, and it can even be utilized to generate electricity to power modern society. Sunlight is amazingly versatile, but above all, there is something about sunlight that means it is able to keep us alive. We literally could not live without it. We could not live without the sun. Now think about the spiritual parallel here. In Malachi 4, where it refers to Christ as the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ gives spiritual light to this dark world. It says in John 3 that that's what he brought to this earth. It was a world in darkness, and Christ brought light, but men rejected him because they love darkness. They love continuing on with their brief, temporary, physiochemical existence in thick darkness. In our awesome universe potential, it says our lives should revolve around God the way our planet does that sun. So it's like we've got a daily reminder when we step outside. Wow, here's another brilliant sunrise. Here comes the sun. We couldn't live without it. You push the earth a few degrees closer to the sun and it scorches the earth. You move it a few degrees the other way and we freeze to death. As it is, it's just right. I mean, it's just perfect. You want to talk about perfection? There's a lot of so-called experts in the world that go on and on about how the disaster they caused was actually perfect. But here, I mean, we're talking about godly perfection, actual perfection. This is our maker. This is our creator. And when he had to recreate the surface of the earth there in Genesis 1 to prepare it for human beings, you can see after each day there that he said, he looked at what he created and he said, this is really good. I mean, that's kind of an understatement. You have human beings today saying, I can save the world. Gavin Newsom said recently, if you recall me, more people are going to die. Now, in other words, I'm your savior. I'm going to save your life. God, I mean, he speaks with boldness and certainty as well. But here he recreates the surface of the earth. He prepares it for human life. And he looks at his creation and he says, you know what? This is really good. And in looking at hummingbirds every morning, I'd have to agree. What a beautiful, beautiful creation. And look at what we're doing with it, whether you consider it physically or spiritually. The Son of God comes to this earth and men reject him, the Son of God? That's right. They want to blot him out. They want to push God out. That climate change, climate change, climate change. No room for God here. God's not in the discussion. Verse 5, it says, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. A strong man. We certainly have a strong God that we worship, and we need him. We need him to build our lives, our marriages, and our families the way he says, so that it will work. So that there will be happiness and joy and prosperity and love. This is from the book, 15 Million Degrees. It says that the sun does not explode like a thermonuclear bomb is because of a delicate balancing act, one that keeps the sun exploding enough to stay hot, but not so much that it blows apart. We now know this equilibrium was established when the sun was young, and that fusion proceeded at a steady rate and has remained safely stable ever since. As I say, I imagine this woman is an evolutionist who thinks that it just all, you know, exploded onto the scene and then just kind of gradually changed or progressed over time. And yet look at, in that one paragraph, look at all these statements, these words that she uses, she's just taking for granted in this paragraph, definite God-ordained laws. God is not only the creator, he's the sustainer. How does this little planet that we reside on, how does this planet keep from just spinning out of orbit? It's because of definite laws. She says things like a delicate balancing act. Mr. Hilliker in the Universe booklet says it's like the Goldilocks planet. Everything's situated just perfectly enough to where it could sustain human life. It's not like that for other planets. You couldn't sustain human life on Mars or some of the others. You get the Hubble telescope, you zoom out into the universe, and you don't see life like what we have here on Earth. Why? What is God doing? Why is the rest of the universe sitting in a state of waste and decay? Paul says in Romans 8, it's just groaning. It's like a groaning mother in travail, just waiting for the birth of the sons of God, waiting for us to realize our universe potential. This is a pretty deep subject. But we've got the Feast of Trumpets coming up. We've got Atonement. We've got the Feast of Tabernacles. We've got the Last Great Day. All of the holy days that you read about, that you study about in the Bible. Yes, they're actually in the Bible. Quite unlike Christmas and Easter. They're talked about in the Bible. They're explained in the Bible. They're explained in our booklet, Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days. Which ones are you going to observe? Are you going to observe God's holy days, or are you going to try to erase him from the religion by embracing pagan holy days, or holidays, I should say? Verse 6, it says, his going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from him from the heat thereof. You can't hide anything from the sun's heat, from the sun's energy, from its life-giving elements. There's harmony. Harmony in the heavens because of God's laws, because of our Maker. And it goes on in verse 7 saying, the law of the eternal is perfect, converting the soul. So here it's talking about converting the soul of man. This carnal, stubborn nature in man, hostile to the laws of God? It can actually be converted to a God being? That's the purpose. I'm just kind of summarizing a few things here in a hurry. Hopefully you're interested enough to delve into this more deeply. Mystery of the Ages is a great place to start. Written by Herbert Armstrong in the last year of his life. That toll-free number, by the way, just to repeat it, since this program will replay on Sunday, it's 1-866-930-3024. Request Mystery of the Ages. Request our awesome universe potential. The law of the eternal is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the eternal is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the eternal are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the eternal is pure, enlightening the eyes. The law of God, the commentaries think that this is a change in subject. Well, I mean, it's certainly talking more on the spiritual realm now, but this is just a perfect continuation of what God talks about in the first six verses of the Psalm. The laws of God sustain the universe. And the laws of God perfect our souls and sustain our lives, our minds. It gives us soundness of thought and meditation and contemplation. It gives us happy and peaceful marriages. It gives us strong families. Think about applying the laws of God in our physical families or in our church congregations or in the church at large. And then think about all of the words and the terminology that this woman used with respect to the universe, the delicate balancing act, keeping the sun from exploding, making sure that the equilibrium is established, that there's a steadiness to it, that it remains, that it's stable. Think of all those parables in the New Testament, Christ talking about building on a solid foundation. Here's how you do it. You do it with the laws of God. Those laws that are perfect and holy and righteous and just, that's what man wants to blot out. That's what man wants to get rid of. God says, no, I need to be right at the center. I need to be right in the middle. That's the way it's going to be in the wonderful world of tomorrow. And that world is, it's going to be here sooner than you think. We're just a few years away from it. All people all over the earth living together in harmony and peace. Can you believe it? Will you believe it? Here's another booklet, The Wonderful World of Tomorrow, what it will be like. What will that world be like? Herbert Armstrong, he wrote about it. You can request that one as well. Everyone's going to be living in harmony and in peace in the world tomorrow because God will be at the center of our society. He'll be at the center of our nations. He'll be at the center of our lives. He'll be right in the heart of our families. Notice Jeremiah 31, just another verse here, or two if we have time. Moses said that God is our life and the length of our days. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For in God we live and move and have our being." Does that sound like it's something we should just shove aside or move off into a corner or blot out? If he's at the center of our being, then we want to draw near to him. We want to get to know him. My father said before that our primary focus in life must be on how we talk to God in prayer. That is our number one priority. Staying in close and intimate contact with our Maker, with our Creator, so that he can bring in that stability, that strength, so that the equilibrium, spiritually speaking, can just be in perfect balance. Notice what it says in Jeremiah 31. Well, this isn't even a verse that I included in my notes, so I'll have to turn, and I'll have to turn quickly. Here it is, sorry. Jeremiah 31, 22. "How long will you go about, O you backsliding daughter? For the Eternal has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man." A woman shall complement and surround and encompass a man. This is what God had in mind from the very beginning. He created Adam and then took a rib to create his complement, his helpmeet. God wouldn't have instituted marriage from the very start were it not for the fact that he is a family and that Christ is going to marry the church and that Christ and the church are going to bring in billions of God beings into that family. We're going to be compassing Jesus Christ. We in God's family today, we in the church today, we're going to be compassing him for eternity, building a family, building the family of God. This is a new thing, Jeremiah said. It is new. It's very simple and straightforward and basic if you know anything about the truth of God, but the world doesn't know this because the world loves darkness. The world rejected the Son of God, and God's people are about to marry the Son of God. That's an awesome calling. That's a wonderful, hope-filled vision. What a message. What a message of encouragement. What a message of excitement. And you just can't get to the full depth of this message. It just goes on and on and on. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We're putting the finishing touches on another week of broadcasting here on thetrumpet.com, our radio station, kpcg.fm. We thank you for joining us today. We thank you for joining us all week, and we'll see you next week.